Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom. And Shabbat Shalom to everybody with us tonight. Come on, everybody get in, pull up a chair. And we will be starting again the Erev Shabbat Bible study. Let us start in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne and we thank you and we bless you and we praise you for another week of life. We thank you, Father, for all the things that you do for us that we don't even realize, all the protection you give us that we don't even know. And we thank you for all the Shemitah blessings that you pour upon your people that are faithful. We pray, Father, and we put this time into your hands and ask your Spirit to guide and lead as we study your word. We pray your kingdom to the earth as is in heaven. And we pray, Father, and thank you so much for the great sacrifice of sending your Son to pay the penalty of our sins. In Yeshua's name we pray. Hallelujah. Okay, so I am going to get into a little bit of world news. Not so much tonight because I need to get into the Bible study. I'm going to be jumping around now in Ezekiel. The last chapter I think we did was 13, I believe. Or was it 12? No, it was 13. And now I'm going to be going to chapter 20, which is a very long chapter. We definitely won't get it done tonight. I'm guessing it's going to take 2 weeks to do it. So I'm just going to briefly go over some of these articles here because we haven't had our Bible study for a while now. Had a great trip to Nicaragua and U.S. and have some other trips that are going to be coming up. So in the meantime, though, we will do our Erev Shabbat study and take it from there. But here's one that talks about Walmart employees warn about secret devices that monitor self-checkout. So this is, as everybody probably knows, Walmart and a lot of these stores have self-checkout. And you might wonder, well, with self-checkout, what if people just don't scan the items in? What if they just steal them? But apparently there are devices that are monitoring, watching them, and checking them, and all these different things. Here's another article. Why Russia is suspending the Black Sea grain deal with Ukraine. So we talked about this last year, right? It was actually in July last year, where grain prices and oil prices were going way up because of the war in Ukraine. And then they came to a deal with Russia to allow a lot of that grain and oil to be going out because they talked about shortages in Africa and Asia and whatnot. But in the meantime, Russia was still getting sanctioned on all of their products. So now Russia said, hey, we're not going to let it go. And they stopped letting that food go out of there. So let's see what happens in the coming months when it starts hitting into the prices again. Inflation has gone down somewhat. I mean, prices are still way elevated from a couple of years ago, but at least it slowed down some of the inflation. But who knows? You know, it could be moving up with these kind of things that happen. Another article, I talked about the system, the new the Federal Reserve System, FedNow. The FedNow system. It is now in operation. It started this week. So now, like I said, there's, I believe it's 35 banks that started out with it. And they will be going to much more, but all of the financial things will be going through that. So when the next time I send out my Brethren update, I will be sending this World News update too, so you could read these articles. Right now, I'm just skimming through. Here's an article that says, Saudi woman jailed for 30 years after criticizing NEOM megacity project on Twitter. So this NEOM project, the more I'm learning about it, it just is so much a evil new age project that's just gonna, like I said, destroy a lot of the antiquities. I don't want to get too much into that, but here's a woman who put something on because of the Bedouins that are getting removed from their land and losing their land, and some of them even killed, and she made a thing on Facebook and they put her in prison for that, and she could get 30 years in jail now for that. Here's one, a systematic review of autopsy findings and deaths after COVID-19. and they're showing something like around 74% of deaths were contributed to the vaccination. Endgame, U.S. federal debt interest payments about to hit $1 trillion. $1 trillion just in the interest. Because as the interest rate keeps going up, that means the interest rate payments for the government keep going up also. And last article here says 13 nations agree to engineer global famine by destroying agriculture. So these nations are talking about it. They want to reduce the population and control the food supply. And they are destroying the agriculture to do that. So again, all these articles will be in the next update and more. But for right now, I would like to, because like I said, I don't like our Bible studies on Friday going overtime, really. So that's why, without a shadow of a doubt, I'm 100% sure I will not get through this chapter tonight, because it's a very long chapter, and there's really a lot of things that are in there that are really, really important that we'll be going over. And Ezekiel 20 has always been one of my top chapters in all the Bible as far as interest and what it's about and the second wilderness and all the things that are coming up there that it's broken down into. So let us get going here. We will start with verse 1 of Ezekiel chapter 20. And it says, "And it was in the seventh year, in the fifth month, in the tenth of the month, men came from the elders of Israel to inquire of Yahweh and sat before me." And like I said, Ezekiel is the watchman. Why? Because what does a watchman do? A watchman tells time. And if we go back to Ezekiel 1 in verse 2, we see, you know, what does it say? "On the fifth of the month, on the fifth of the year of the captivity of Jehoiakim the king." So we see all these dates that are being laid down in Ezekiel, not all going by the same reckoning of time. Some are by the captivity, as we see. Some are by even the Jubilee year. Some are by even possibly Ezekiel's own age coming. But this one was in the seventh year of the captivity of Jeconiah, in the fifth month, in the tenth of the month. And what is that? It is the day after the ninth of Av. Av is the fifth month of the Hebrew calendar. And what's important about the ninth of Av? That is the day that both of the sanctuaries of Yahweh were destroyed, both on the very same day. Not, you know, the date, rather, not day, but date. Long period between them. But so here it is on this day of destruction. This is what's happening. "And men came from the elders of Israel to inquire of Yahweh and sat before me," sat before Ezekiel. "And the word of Yahweh was to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel and say to them, So says Adonai Yahweh, have you come to inquire of me? As I live, declares Adonai Yahweh, I will not be inquired of by you." So these men are coming, and from the way it's being written, they're coming very arrogantly, you know, that they are going to inquire of Yahweh, and they want to know this or they want to know that. And Yahweh is saying, "Son of man, you speak to them," to the elders of Israel, "and say, have you come to inquire of me? As I live," you know, Yahweh is eternal. He has no beginning. He has no end. "As he is the eternal one, as he lives, declares Adonai Yahweh, I will not be inquired of by you." And then verse 4, "Will you judge them? Will you judge, son of man? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers." So Yahweh's going to, the beginning of the chapter here, Yahweh is really going to chastise them. He's going to tell them, going all the way back to the Exodus, the things that they've been doing. And there really is a great judgment that's coming down on them. And then the second part of the chapter, which Yahweh willing will be going over next week, gets to the second wilderness experience. So it's showing the first wilderness and how they didn't make it. And then we'll be going to the second wilderness and hopefully a change on there. So it says, will you judge them? Will you judge, Son of Man? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. Verse 5. And say to them, so says Adonai Yahweh, in the day I chose Israel and lifted my hand to the seed of the house of Jacob. What is he talking about? Lifted my hand to the seed of the house of Jacob. It's making an oath. That's what we do even today. I know in many places, like United States, when you're in the courtroom, right? What do? When you go, before you sit on the witness stand, you have to put your hand up and take an oath, right? Take an oath. And do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? So help you, Elohim. And when I've been in that situation, I say, sorry, sir, I can't because I can't take oaths. But yes, I will tell the truth. But I will not take an oath to do that. Just let my yes be yes, my no be no. But this is what he's doing. He lifted his hand to the seed of the house of Jacob, and I was made known to them in the land of Egypt when I lifted up my hand to them, right? And there's our note, an act involved with swearing an oath according to the ancient blood covenant. And the covenant that Yahweh made with Israel was a blood covenant. When I lifted my hand to them, saying, I am Yahweh your Elohim. I am Yahweh your Elohim. Daniel 12 and verse 7. You see something similar. Daniel 12 and verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen, this is talking about Yeshua, who was on the waters of the river when he held up his right hand, right again, and his left hand to the heavens and swore by him who lives forever. So we see the same thing happening here. So basically what Yahweh is saying is, you know, he's giving his oath that what he's going to say here is going to come to pass and is the truth. Verse 6, he says, in that day I lifted up my hand to them to bring them out from the land of Egypt into a land flowing with milk and honey that I searched out for them, the glory of it to all the lands. So, wow, Yahweh personally picked out the land of Israel and brought them there by miracles. Can you imagine? And I think sometimes we just take for granted, you know, that because, you know, you read the Bible and this is what happens, right? We know the Garden of Eden was in Jerusalem, and you just take for granted that these are with the things. But here Yahweh is saying that he personally searched out for them the glory of all lands, you know, and Israel is a very special land in many ways. You know, it's not a very big land, but it has oceans, and it has mountains, and it has lakes and different things to it, desert and even, you know, greenery, all different kinds of things to the land. But Yahweh personally picked out that land and brought them there by miracles. And then verse 7, then I said to him, let each man cast away the filthy idols of his eyes, and do not defile yourself with the idols of Egypt. I am Yahweh your Elohim. So here it is, you know, Yahweh takes them from shepherds in the wilderness to farmers in the land of Israel, right? It's a land of milk and honey, which is showing that it has a supply all year long, you know, of food and grazing for the animals. And Yahweh's just telling them, in order for them to come into this land to be his people and go in covenant relationship with him, they have to get rid of their idolatry. And you know, you would think that it's not really that hard of a thing to do. But to be honest, and I've said this many times, you know, in the world we're living in today, we're, you know, at least 25 to 30 years now into the internet age. And in the internet age, you know, for all the evil things and bad things that are there, also you could pretty much get any information about anything at your fingertips. So where it is, like when I came to the truth 40 years ago, not many people knew the truth. You know, it really wasn't there because, you know, not many people are going to the libraries and searching these things out. But today you don't have to do that. Today, all these things are right there. And yet, the main reason why, at least what I've seen through my years, why people don't come to the truth, because they know it. Most people know now that Saturday is the Sabbath. They know Yahweh's holy days. It's because they don't want to come out of their idolatry. They don't want to go through the things they have to. They don't want to have problems with their family. They don't want to have to tell their family they can't come over on Christmas Day, you know. And they don't want to do these things. They don't want to stop celebrating birthdays and the other things that come in there. And this is the main reason. And yet, so when we look here, and Yahweh says, let each man cast away the filthy idols of his eyes, and do not defile yourself with the idols of Egypt. I am Yahweh your Elohim. And we think, yeah, why didn't they just do that? Why wouldn't they do that with Yahweh being there in their might, and Yahweh doing all these miracles for them, and Yahweh picking out the land of Israel? But yet, how many people are doing the same thing today? How many people will not the simplest thing of losing a job over Shabbat? You know, we just had this recently where there were, you know, a couple of people that wanted to be baptized. And in the case of somebody working on Sabbath, and they didn't want to, you know, they didn't want to have friction with their job. And they tried to rationalize it. And yet, you know, it's very simple. 6 days we shall work, the 7 days is Sabbath. And for any reason, it doesn't matter what the reason is, you know. Of course, there's always that ox in the ditch. If your neighbor's house is on fire, you know, according to Torah, you can go there and help them and pull them out of the fire and try to save life. But no matter what your job is, it doesn't matter whether you're, you know, a fireman or a doctor or, you know, whatever. You should be off on Saturday, because to be honest, the vast majority of people in the world take off on Sundays or Fridays if they're Muslim. And Saturday is the least amount of people that are taking off on Saturday. So there should be no problem with somebody getting off on Saturday. But this is what happens. Let's go to Deuteronomy 29 and verse 16. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 16. And this is where Yahweh is telling them the same thing with your idols. Deuteronomy 29, verse 16. For you know how we lived in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations through which you passed. And you have seen their detestable things and their idols of wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. That there not be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from Yahweh or Elohim, to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you today a root that bears gall and wormwood, you know, which were poisonous, bitter plants. So this has been mankind's thing all throughout time, that he doesn't want to give up his idols. He doesn't want to give up his idolatry. You know, he doesn't want to forsake them. It doesn't matter whether it's the idols of Egypt or the idols of Babylon or the idols of anywhere, for that matter, that mankind doesn't want to, they don't want to forsake their idols. They want to do it their own way. And that's why, you know, when people say, well, what's the difference what you call, you know, Elohim? It makes a big difference, because all of these other names are idolatry and idols. And Yahweh gives us his name 7,000 times, that his name is Yahweh. That's the name that he wants to be referred by. That's what he says. This is my name for all generations. And by calling him that name, it makes it different from the false deities, right? Because when you look at all these other religions, right? Allah is God, and Vishnu is God, and Baal is God. They're all false gods, right? But there's only one true Elohim, and that's Yahweh. So by using his name, it separates him from all these false deities that are out there. Okay. And did they listen, though? Nope. But they rebelled against me and would not listen to me. Verse 8 of chapter 20. They did not each man throw away the filthy idols of their eyes, and they did not forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury against them to complete my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. So here it is, like I said, Yahweh goes out there and he handpicks this land. He takes the miracle after miracle after miracle, the 10 plagues in Egypt, and then the death of the firstborn, the parting of the Red Sea. And what's the first thing they're doing when Moses goes up to get the Torah and the commandments? They're building an altar and a golden calf like the gods of Egypt. Exodus 32 and verse 8. it's almost shocking, but like I said, when you compare it today, many people are doing the same thing today. Choosing false religion over relationship with Yahweh. Now, like I said, in the world we live in today, with the truth so easy to find, why should there still be so many people in false religion? Because that's what people want to do. So Exodus 32, verse 8. It says, and Yahweh was speaking to Moses, right? And he's telling Moses what the people's going on there. And verse 8, it says, they have quickly turned off from the way which I commanded them. They have made for themselves a casted calf, and have bowed to it, and have sacrificed to it. And they have said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. And Yahweh said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. And now leave me alone, that my anger may glow against them, that I may consume them, and I will make you a great nation. So, while Yahweh has every right to be upset, and it's a miracle that he didn't just destroy these people from off the face of the earth, but he gave them time after time after time, he gave them opportunity to repent, to change, and they just never did it. It wasn't in their heart. And I can only, wow, you know, I always say, if there's one person in the Bible that I would not want to be, it would be Moses. You know, I see it sometimes when, you know, over the years now, like, you know, we're hosting the feast for whatever it is, you know, 20-something years. And in Israel, now in Jordan. And with only, you know, anywhere between, we've had, you know, 50, 60 up to about 200 people, which is not a lot of people when you consider almost 2 million in the wilderness. And sometimes it's been hard just to keep that many people together. You know, believe it or not, you know, you're trying to do it. And I can only imagine, you know, there's some times where I'm thinking, wow, how on earth did Moses ever do it? You know, but that's just the way it was, that the people didn't have heart. And praise Yahweh that with his congregation, at least the people have his rock and they are helpful and they, you know, and whatnot. But I'm thinking back some of the earlier days in Israel where we had a lot of people that were not part of the congregation that used to come. And a lot of people just couldn't take instructions, particularly from Babylon. You know, so, and again, these are people that were not part of our congregation. But Yahweh says, you know, his anger glowed against them. And you can understand it because everything he did for them, and this is their answer. Zero appreciation, you know, zero faith in him. And just, it's shocking, but it's the way it happened. In verse 9, but I worked for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned in the eyes of the nations among whom they were. For I made myself known to them in their eyes by bringing them out of the land of Egypt. So, and our note says the Creator's name is Yahweh, and he states he will not give his glory to idols. When Judah went into captivity in Babylon, from that time they stopped using the true name Yahweh of the Creator. And doing so caused the nation, so ultimately Christianity, later to adopt the personal name of the Babylonian deity, which was God, instead of Yahweh. But over here, what he's mainly talking about, when he's saying, why didn't he just destroy them? You know, like I just said, why wouldn't he just, in his frustration? Because of his namesake. Because he took these people out for his namesake. So for his namesake, he didn't want to destroy them. Jeremiah 44 and verse 26. Jeremiah 44, verse 26. So hear the word of Yahweh, all Judah who reside in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, says Yahweh, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, Adonai Yahweh lives. So because of their rebellion, because of their lack of faith, because of their obstinance against Yahweh, because of their lack of appreciation, this is what Yahweh says. Ezekiel 36 and verse 21 and 22. Ezekiel 36. Verse 21 and 22. He says, but I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations there where they went. Therefore say to the house of Israel, so says Adonai Yahweh, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but only for my holy name, which you profaned among the nations there where you went. So, Yahweh made a promise to Abraham, and the fact that somebody else is unfaithful, namely Israel, it doesn't mean that Yahweh is going to be unfaithful. And it's the same way in a marriage. Why some people can't understand why when one spouse is unfaithful, why you just can't go and divorce them and marry somebody else. Because when you make that commitment, that covenant commitment in marriage, you're making that commitment till death do you part. So even if one spouse is unfaithful, you still have to be faithful. Because the marriage covenant is to prove to Yeshua that you'll be faithful for eternity. You know? So he holds us to that. And, you know, and if he did that, if he just threw us away every time we were unfaithful, wow. Then it would really be, nobody would be in his kingdom. So Yahweh worked for his namesake because Israel was profaning themselves to the nations where they went. And he said, verse 10, I caused them to go out from the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness, right? Deuteronomy 8. So Yahweh takes them out of Egypt. He brings them to the wilderness. I've been working on lesson 27 of the wilderness, and Yahweh willing, I'm going to have that out soon. And chapter 8, verse 1 of Deuteronomy. You shall be watchful to do every commandment which I am commanding you today, so that you may live and may multiply and may go in and possess the land which Yahweh has sworn to your fathers. And you shall remember all the ways which Yahweh your Elohim has caused you to go these 40 years in the wilderness, in order to humble you, to try you, to know that which is in your heart, whether you will keep his commandments or not. Right? So it's all, the wilderness was a test. And he has humbled you and caused you to hunger, and caused you to eat the manna which you had not known and your fathers had not known, in order to cause you to know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. So, miracle there. I've said this many times, that in our walk, you know, outside of America, it's going on, let's see now, it's 24 years. It'll be going on 25 years next year. And I still have clothes, you know, sweaters and different things from Babylon, from probably 10 years before we left Babylon, and, you know, that are still not 40 years left, but it's going on it, and they're still in really good shape, you know, and different clothes like that. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. And you have known with your heart that as a man disciplines his son, Yahweh your Elohim disciplines you. So the discipline we go through, it's there to purify us. It's not there as a punishment. It's there to purify. It's only a punishment if you don't learn from it. Because if you don't learn from it, then the discipline is going to get worse, and it's going to keep going, you know, it's gonna bring somebody down. So verse 10 again, I caused them to go out from the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness, and I gave them my statutes, and I made them know my judgments, which if a man does them, he will live by them. Right? Keeping Torah only gives life and blessings. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 8. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 8. And who is a great nation whose statutes and judgments are as righteous as all the Torah which I set before you today, right? Who is a great nation whose statutes and judgments are as righteous as all the Torah? So, Yahweh's word is righteousness. His statutes and his judgments are righteousness. Who would ever want to do away with them? Wow. You look today and how really, I hate to use the word, but how idiotic that society is, where to a point where they won't even say that a man is a man and a woman is a woman. And people want to do away with Yahweh's statutes and judgments and commandments? Where do you go from there? Where on earth do you go? You know? So praise Yahweh, like he says, that He gives us these righteous commandments that are there. And I gave them my statutes, and I made them know my judgments, which if a man does, he will even live by them. Verse 12, and I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am Yahweh who sets them apart, right? So Yahweh gave them his Sabbaths, and that's talking about not just the weekly Sabbath, but it's talking about all the Sabbaths, the holy days, which are Sabbaths also. And Yahweh gave them that. He gave them the seventh-day Sabbath, and he gave them the yearly Sabbaths. And they're meant to sanctify the people from the world and identify them as the children of Yahweh. That's what those days do. Exodus 31, And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, and you speak to the sons of Israel, charging them, only my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you for your generation, to know that I am Yahweh your sanctifier. And you shall keep the Sabbath, for it is holy, it is kadosh for you. The profaners of it shall surely be executed. For everyone doing work in it, that soul will be cut off from the midst of his people. Work may be done 6 days, and on the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, holy to Yahweh. Everyone doing work on the Sabbath day surely will be put to death. So it doesn't say, like you're only to take off if you're doing a useless job, you know. No, it's any job you're doing. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's a good job. It doesn't matter whether you're working in the medical profession. It doesn't matter what your job is. 6 days you do work, and the seventh day is the Sabbath. And the sons of Israel will guard the Sabbath to observe and do the Sabbath for their generations. It is a never-ending covenant. It is a sign forever between me and the sons of Israel. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So I don't know how anyone could try to make the argument that the Sabbath does not go back to creation. You know, that some people say that the Sabbath was only given on Mount Sinai. And it's like, no, right here it says it. And in Genesis 2, it says it. It goes back to creation. 6 days Yahweh made the heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested. So these holy days were meant to set Israel apart from the world and make them as the children of Yahweh. It's a covenant that's there. Leviticus 23, and like I said, it's not just the Sabbath. It's also all the yearly holy days to go along with it. Leviticus 23, just the first two verses. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, and you shall say to them, the set feasts of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim as holy gatherings, shall be these. These are my appointed feasts. And the first feast is the Sabbath day, the seventh day Sabbath. So, these are special days that Yahweh set apart to sanctify Israel away from the world and to identify them as his children. Why wouldn't anybody want to keep these days? They all have meaning. You know, they're all tell about the plan of salvation. Every year, as you keep these days, it reminds us of Yahweh's plan of salvation. And that's what they're there for. And then verse 13, but the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. So did they listen? Did they take advantage of these days? Did they embrace these days? No, they didn't. And it's the same with us. You know, this is, as we're going to see, the first part of this chapter is about the Israelites in the wilderness failing. The second part of the chapter is about the second wilderness experience in the end time. So, wow. We could really learn from this, because everything that Israel failed at, and this is why Corinthians 10 goes into all the things the Israelites did wrong, because in the end time, it's the same things that we have to overcome today. So did the house of Israel listen? No, they rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which if a man does, he will even live by them. And they greatly profaned my Sabbaths, including the Shemitah. You know, the Shemitah is the Sabbath. It's the seven-year Sabbath. And I really pray, you know, we're in now the 11th month already. And, you know, I love the first Shemitah. The last Shemitah 7 years ago was the first one that we realized how to keep it correctly. And I really loved it, even though we had no time to prepare. And it was kind of difficult, but Yahweh blessed us so much. But that Shemitah seemed like it went on for about 3 years. It really seemed like a long year. This year went so fast, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable how fast that this year went. And are you despising it? You know, the last Shemitah, we literally, even a couple of elders, we had that Yahweh separated from the congregation because they despised the Shemitah. And they didn't want to keep it. And they didn't want to keep his word. So, you know, this is what we see here, that nobody is hiding in your, you know, your bathroom or hiding in your closet, you know, watching you each day to see, ooh, is he going to keep the Shemitah correctly? No, this is something that you have to do in faith before Yahweh. And if you have, and I plan on writing shortly about this because there's so many blessings that we got this year. I want to write them down. I want to share them. And I've been getting a lot of letters from brethren sharing the same thing. And I'd like to, you know, by the end of the Sabbath, maybe the end of the Shemitah, I mean, maybe during Sukkot, be able to even put them into a letter or read some of them. Because it's important. You know, it's really, really important that we share with each other the blessings that Yahweh gives when we're obedient. So the Shemitah is one of them. But they greatly profaned my Sabbaths. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them. Wow. So Yahweh guided and protected them for 40 years. And what was their answer to that? They only had rebellion, ingratitude, and unbelief. That's all they gave back to him. Ingratitude, rebellion, and unbelief. Deuteronomy 31, 24 through 29. Deuteronomy 31. And it was like each time he kept asking them and asking them and telling them as a father who loves a child, all you have to do is be obedient and you're going to be blessed upon all these things. And they just wouldn't do it. They were just so stiff-necked and just didn't want to listen. And we see it today. We have a stiff-necked generation that we're living in today of Satan. And that's one of the reasons why Yahweh wants us to come out of that generation. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 24. And it happened when Moses finished writing until their completion all the words of this Torah in the book, that Moses commanded the Levites who bore the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh, saying, take this book of the Torah, and you shall put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh your Elohim, so that it may be there for a witness against you. For I have known your rebellion and your stiff neck. Behold, while I was yet alive with you this day, you have been rebellious against Yahweh, and how much more after my death? Gather to me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, and I shall speak in their ears these words, and cause the heavens and the earth to testify against them. For I know that after my death, you shall utterly corrupt yourself and will turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. And evil shall happen to you in the latter end of the days. Right? Here we are. Because you shall do evil in the eyes of Yahweh to make him angry with the work of your hands. Wow. So Moses knew, even though he wasn't going in the promised land, he knew the result because he knew the heart of the people. He knew the heart of the people wasn't to obey. Go to Psalm 95, verse 7. Psalm 95 and verse 7. And it's sad that so much of this Exodus story, because it's a beautiful story of Yahweh's love and provision on his people and his protection on them. And yet, when you look at what they did in return and what they gave back, it's just really sad. Psalm 95, starting in verse 7. For he is our Elohim, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the day of strife, as in the day of testing in the wilderness. When your fathers tried me, they tested me, and they saw my work. For 40 years I was disgusted with that generation. And I said, they are a people who err in heart, and they do not know my ways, of whom I swore in my anger, they will not enter my rest. So they didn't only lose out on entering the physical promised land, they lost out on eternity. You know, because they blasphemed the Holy Spirit. They literally had the Spirit of Yahweh with them, you know, manifested, and they blasphemed it by rejecting it. So sad. Numbers 14 and verse 35. Numbers 14 and verse 35. I am Yahweh, I have spoken. I shall do this to all this evil company who are gathered together against me. They shall be brought to an end in this wilderness, and there they shall die. So, wow. And here it is. You know, I say like with Mount Sinai, in 3,500 years, it hasn't changed. Even the carvings that were there with a spear, the carvings of the cows and all the different things that are still there. And now after 3,500 years, they're going to destroy it all in the next few years with this Neom project. And it's like the same thing here, you know, that we see when Yahweh is telling these people, like, they're going to die in the wilderness, you know. They're not going to make it. They're going to die in the wilderness because of their, you know, their rebellion, their lack of obedience to him. And like he said, I am Yahweh, I have spoken, I shall do this to all this evil company who are gathered together against me. They will be brought to an end in this wilderness, and there they will die. And here we are 3,500 years later, and now we are going in the second wilderness. So, in one way, it's a little bit scary, you know, to think that out of all those people, you know, 20 and above, only two people went to the promised land. But in another way, it's exciting because we have the opportunity to right what they did wrong. We have the opportunity to end this curse that they did, because the wilderness was never meant to be a curse. It was meant to be a blessing. It was meant to be to sanctify the people and to get them closer to Yahweh and build a relationship with him away from Satan's society. And they just didn't have eyes to see. And now here we are. Here we are, the last generation before the kingdom of Yahweh, which is coming in a very short amount of a few years. And we have the opportunity to succeed where our forefathers failed. Not to die in the wilderness, not to get lost there. Because like I always say, there's only one road to the promised land, that's the wilderness, but the wilderness is not the promised land. You know, we have to continue, we have to go through it to finish there. Verse 14 of Ezekiel 20. But I work for my namesake, that it should not be profaned in the eyes of the nations before whom I brought them out in their eyes, right? So like we said, he worked for his namesake, Ezekiel 36, 22 and 23. Ezekiel 36, 22 and 23. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, so says Adonai Yahweh, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but only for my holy name, which you profaned among the nations there where you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the nations, which you profaned among them. And the nation shall know that I am Yahweh, declares Adonai Yahweh, when I am sanctified in you in their eyes. Wow. So, Yahweh is doing that. He hasn't given up. Praise Yahweh of his faithfulness. Praise Yahweh of his promise to Abraham. Praise Yahweh of his faithfulness to his name. And that he is going to continue the promises that he said because of that. But I worked for my namesake, that it should not be profaned in the eyes of the nations before whom I brought them out in their eyes. And I also lifted up my hand to them in the wilderness, right? An act to take a vow again. I lifted up my hand to them in the wilderness, that I should not bring them into the land flowing with milk and honey, which I had given. It is the glory to all the land. So like he said, he swore in his wrath, they will not enter his rest. And unfortunately, like I said, these people lost out on salvation, you know, and he will not bring them into the land flowing with milk and honey, you know, a land that was a shepherd's dream, you know, that it has food year round and, you know, foliage for the animals and the sheep and the goats year round. So Yahweh picked out, like he said, he personally picked out this wonderful land, and unfortunately they didn't do it. And verse 16, so I'll read 15 again, then 16. And I also lifted up my hand to them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land flowing with milk and honey, which I had given. It is the glory to all the lands, because they despised my judgments, and they did not walk in my statutes, and they profaned my Sabbaths. Right? How important is that Sabbath day? For their heart went after their idols. Their heart went after their idols. And like I said, you know, I say it in jest, but it's really true. Like somebody will say, how on earth can they bow down to that piece of stone or that piece of wood? That's like, hey, don't come near my car. Get away from my car. So today, we have idols the same way. You know, a car that's made of metal could be an idol just as well as, you know, a false deity that was made, you know, of metal in ancient times. But that's what Yahweh says there, you know, that their heart was after their idols. Acts 7 and verse 39. Acts 7 and verse 39. And we want to make sure there's no idols in our life. It could be a job, you know, that, like I said, people that will not give their job up because they're forced to work on the Sabbath, you know. It can be money, can be an idol. It can be a house. I literally have had people in America tell me through the years, to be honest, Don, I'll never leave Babylon because I'll never leave my house. I'm thinking, you got to be kidding. I mean, I could understand I won't leave my family or I won't leave, you know, something like that. But you won't leave a house? You know, come on. You're going to give your salvation up for a house? But it happens. Acts 7. So idols can come in any form. Acts 7 and verse 39. And our forefathers did not desire to obey him. Rather, they left him, and in their hearts they returned to Egypt. But let me start in verse 38. This is the one who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the messenger who spoke to him in Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the living words to give to us. And our forefathers did not desire to obey him. Rather, they left him, and in their hearts they returned to Egypt. Saying to Aaron, make for us gods which will go before us. For this Moses who led us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has happened to him. And they made a calf in those days and led a sacrifice up to the idol and made merry in the works of their hands. But Elohim turned and gave them over to serve the host of the heaven, as it has been written in the book of the prophets. Did you bring slain beasts and sacrifices to me 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? And you took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god, Rephram, the figures which you made in order to worship them, and I will remove you beyond Babylon. So we see that in that day, the idolatry was literally seeking after the idols and the false deities of the nations around them in Egypt. Today, it's on material things. It's on people a lot of times even making an idol out of themselves. You know, that they simply don't want to sacrifice anything for the kingdom of Yahweh. Okay, back to Ezekiel chapter 20. In verse 17, and my eye spared them from destroying them, and I did not make the end of them in the wilderness, right? Yahweh gave them time after time after time. Psalm 78, verse 36. Psalm 78, verse 36. But they deceived him with their mouths, and with their tongues they lied to him, for their heart was not steadfast with him, and they were not faithful in his covenant. But he, being merciful, atoned for their iniquity and did not destroy. And he added to turn away his anger and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were flesh, a breath passing away and not returning. How often they disobeyed him in the wilderness, angering him, Yahweh, in the desert. How often they disobeyed him in the wilderness. And, you know, we have to think about that today, because as much as they may have disobeyed him in the wilderness, at least they went there. You know, at least they took the call and went. Today, a lot of people, or some people, I'm not going to say a lot, but some, don't even want to go to the wilderness. You know, that's where Yahweh is taking his people, and they don't want to do it. They want to stay in the spoils of Egypt. But my eyes spared them from destroying them, and I did not make an end to them in the wilderness. But I said to their sons in the wilderness, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, and do not keep their judgments, and do not defile yourself with their idols, right? Again, Deuteronomy 4, this is what Yahweh said to them. And now, Israel, listen to the statutes and to the judgments which I am teaching you to do, so that you may live and go in and possess the land which Yahweh, the Elohim of your fathers, is giving to you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, to keep the commandments of Yahweh, your Elohim, which I am commanding you today. Which I command you. Your eyes have seen that which Yahweh has done in Baal Peor. For Yahweh, your Elohim, has destroyed them from among you, the men that followed Baal Peor. And those of you clinging to Yahweh, your Elohim, are alive today, all of you. See, I have taught you statutes and ordinances, as Yahweh, my Elohim, has commanded me to do them in the midst of the land where you are going in to possess it. And you shall keep and do them, for it shall be your wisdom and your understanding before the eyes of the people who hear all these statutes. And they shall say, this great nation is a people wise and understanding, right? Because they're all good things. For who is a great nation whose Elohim is coming near to them as Yahweh your Elohim is, and all are calling on him? And who is a great nation whose statutes and judgments are as righteous as all the Torah which I have set before you today? Only be on guard for yourself and keep your soul carefully, that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and that you not depart from your heart all the days of your life, and you shall make them known to your sons and to your sons' sons. Okay? And that's one of the biggest problems we have today, that people are so short-sighted. We live in a world where, you know, with 200 channels of cable TV and all the, that Satan has a way of keeping people's minds away, and people can't keep their mind on something for more than 15 seconds. So that's what Yahweh's saying, you know, don't forget the importance of these things, and don't forget the meaning of them. Verse 19, I am Yahweh your Elohim, walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And in the end of the day, they're only hurting themselves when they don't do it. They're only keeping blessings from themselves. And yet, in their stubbornness of their heart, they couldn't see it. And guard my Sabbaths to keep them holy. Verse 20, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am Yahweh your Elohim. Guard my Sabbaths. Guard them and keep them kadosh, and they will be a sign, right? Isaiah 58 and verse 13. If you turn your foot away because of the Sabbath from doing what you please on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight to the holiness of Yahweh, glorified, and shall glorify him to the holiness of not doing your own ways, from finding your own pleasure or speaking your own words. Then you shall delight yourself in Yahweh, and I will cause you to ride on the heights of the earth and make you eat for the inheritance of your father Jacob, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it, right? So this is what he's saying, that if you keep the Sabbath and you keep it sanctified, kadosh to him, these are the blessings that will come. We already read Exodus 31, right? It's a sign between me and my people forever. A sign between him and his people for all generations. Verse 21. But the sons of Israel rebelled against me. They did not walk in my statutes, and they did not keep my judgments to do them, which if a man does them, he shall live by them, right? That's the point. I put before you today life and death. Choose life. Life is obedience. Life is keeping Yahweh's statutes and judgments and commandments. Life is keeping the Torah. That's where you're going to get blessings. If not, you're going to get curse after curse after curse. And it's the word of Yahweh. It's the law of nature. You know, you get, like they say, you got to follow the science. That's science. That's nature. That's the law of gravity that's there. That if people would just follow these things, they'll be blessed, because if they don't, they're going to be cursed. And you can't blame Yahweh when you're cursed, because you're only being cursed. You're only reaping what you're sowing. But they profaned his Sabbaths. Then I said I would pour out my fury on them to fulfill my anger against them in the wilderness. But I withdrew my hand and acted for my name's sake, so that it should not be profaned in the eyes of the nations whom I brought them out before their eyes. So once again, Yahweh is saying, go back to verse 14. But I worked for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned in the eyes of the nations before whom I brought them out in their eyes. So he mentions this twice now, right? As after he goes into the punishment and the things that happened here with ancient Israel, and we're going to be turning the page, like I said, next week and getting into end time things now. But that's why sometimes he mentioned these same scriptures twice to show the dual meaning of them. In verse 23, "And I lifted up my hand to them in the wilderness to scatter them among the nations and sow them among the lands." Leviticus 26 in verse 32 through 35. Leviticus 26, verse 32 through 35. "And I shall make the land desolate, and your enemies who are living in it shall be astonished by it." These are the punishments if they're not obedient. "And I will scatter you among the nations and draw out the sword after you. And your land shall become a waste, so your cities shall be a desolation. Then the land shall enjoy its Sabbaths all the days of the desolation, and you shall be in the land of your enemies. Then the land shall enjoy its rest, and you shall enjoy its Sabbaths. It shall rest all the days of the desolation, that which it has not rested in your Sabbaths while you were living on it." And this is talking about not just the weekly Sabbath, but the land Sabbaths, right? The seventh year Sabbath, the Shemitah years that we're in today. And Yahweh was saying to them, if you're not going to keep my Shemitah every 7 years, then you are going to go into captivity. And for every Shemitah that you did not keep, that's how many years you are going to be in captivity. Wow. "So he lifted up his hand to the wilderness, to them in the wilderness," verse 23 of Ezekiel 20 again, "to scatter them among the nations and sow them among the lands, because they had not done my judgments and had despised my statutes and had profaned my Sabbaths, and their eyes were on their father's idols." So, wow, he's saying it over and over again because unfortunately that's what they did for 40 years in the wilderness. And, you know, like when I look today and I look at, say, like, first world countries like Europe and Babylon, and I look at this and I say to myself, wow, I could see why people are arrogant and prideful, how a lot of people make a lot of money and, you know, they're independent because of that. But when I look at Israel, and they were slaves, you know, I mean, they were beaten, they were treated with cruelty, and it brought no humility to them. It's almost shocking that they could be that long, several hundred years, in that kind of bondage. And when they come out of it, they are so filled with pride and arrogance and unappreciative spirit. It's almost inconceivable. And that's why Yahweh is shocked. He's shocked more than we are. You know, I mean, we're shocked, but he's shocked that they could act that way. But that's history, and he puts it there because it's a warning to us, as we're going to see, like I said. We're going to stop there for tonight. But next week, as we get into this and we continue here in verse 25, we're going to see that, you know, this is all now. Yahweh works in a circular, and he's going to get into the end time wilderness here. And it's a warning to us when we read these things. Are we embracing the wilderness experience? Are we learning, like it says in 1 Corinthians 10, from the failings of our forefathers, not to make the same mistakes? Are we really, is it the most important thing of our life? Are we embracing it, you know? And are we living a life that's kadosh to Yahweh? So we will continue with this next week, because that's going to be the main part of the Bible study next week, is on the wilderness today. And Yahweh willing, I hope by that time that I'll have lesson 27, I'm going to try to have it out for you by then, so that you would have it as we're going over this Bible study. So I pray that everybody has a wonderful Sabbath day. And I'm also trying to get the new video up tomorrow from the mission trip to Nicaragua in the U.S. I've been working on that all week. And Yahweh willing, we'll see if I can get that uploaded in the morning. So until then, until next week, have a blessed Sabbath and Shabbat Shalom.